Can I invite your attention in your Bibles this morning for the message? Please turn to John's Gospel, if you would, please, and let's turn to chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. Our subject this month, our focus has been on prayer. And so I want to speak to you about that. I don't know if there's one I enjoy talking about more than this, but I'd have to say it's certainly one of the great privileges of my life to be able to pray. But it's also one of the weakest areas of my Christian life. If I'm honest this morning, I could say this much, that when there have been failures in my life, they're prayer failures. When there have been obstacles that I haven't been able to overcome, it's because really of a lack of prayer in my own personal life. And probably if you were honest today, you would probably agree with me that the times even when sin has got into our lives, it's usually a result that we did not pray enough to avoid it or pray enough to be delivered from it in some way, shape, or form. John chapter 14, if you'd let me read here, I'm going to read a verse that you're quite familiar with, and that's beginning in verse number 6 of John chapter number 14. If you've gotten there, would you say amen? Here we go. Jesus saith unto him, that he's speaking to Thomas, but he's had messages down through the ages to all of us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And, connection there, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I guess verse number six that we read, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, has certainly a lot to do with salvation. There is no way for a person to be saved, no way for a person to be born again except through Jesus Christ. He is not a way, some way, or one way. He is the way. The emphasis being that He is the only way for us to get to the Father. I think that's true in salvation. Amen? I think that's also true, though, in prayer. And so I want to give you today what this will be the first of six that I'll give you, and I'll run through them real quickly. I won't keep you long today. But I want to give you some keys to prayer. And I want to give you six of them. Now, by way of illustration, just so some of y'all that won't remember nothing I said, but you're picture people. You know, you like to see things happen in front of you. I brought something that might be a little help to you, to help you identify. I want to preach on the keys of prayer. You reckon this is enough keys of prayer for me to preach on? Now, you're probably thinking, I've been here over 30 years. You probably accumulated all those keys in over 30 years. Though this is just the one throughout the past 2 or 3 years that I've collected. Have y'all got keys around the house that you either don't know what they go to, or they've accumulated, or you got 5 copies of the same key? Raise your hand. You're guilty. Raise your hand. Well, this is an accumulation. I went through about, I don't know, maybe a third of them this week, because I lost one set. So I had more than this. I lost a set, or one of y'all's got it and ain't told me. So I went through all these to make myself another set. Man, my arm's getting tired holding them keys. They're heavy. But here's what I did. I narrowed down all of them to 6 keys. Isn't that something? I reckon if you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there's probably hundreds of keys to prayer. If not, there's certainly examples of people who prayed, prayers that have been answered, from men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to women like Hannah and Ruth and Naomi, and on we could go. I mean, plenty of examples and keys and promises and principles. But I'm going to try and narrow them down like I did mine to 6. Aren't you glad I'm not preaching on all of them? I'm glad I'm not preaching on all of them. This would have been too many to have to study and write. My notes would have been as thick as my Bible. So I want to give you not this many, and I have no idea. Somebody will count these for me after church. Just see how many there are. Yes, thank you, Elaine. I appreciate that. Can you count higher than 25? I hope so, because your brother can't. But anyway, I want to. If you can count them and let me know. Ethan, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Elijah. Ethan felt guilty all of a sudden. But anyway, I've narrowed my keys down to six. And I'm going to narrow the ones for the message down to that as well. The first key that I want to give you about prayer is this. It must be, and this is not just keys to prayer in general, but keys to answered prayer. And there ain't not a one of us here that wants to pray, I want unanswered prayer. That's not what we want. We want answered prayer. We want God to come through for us. Key number one is we must pray in the name of Jesus. We don't pray in the name of Allah. We don't pray in the name of Buddha. We don't pray in the name of Confucius. Now listen carefully. We don't pray in the name of the Pope. We don't pray in the name of Brother Sellers. We don't pray in the name of the Baptist. We pray in the name of Jesus. And this is identified for us in this verse. Again, Jesus said, I am the way. He's the only way to get to the Father, so you must be born again. If you're not saved, you got to get saved, and that's through Jesus. But the only way we get answered prayer is also through Jesus. We must go through Him. He says this in verse number 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. What does that mean? Does that mean that at the end of every prayer, we have to tack on this little phrase that says, in Jesus' name? I knew one independent Baptist preacher. He got so tired of hearing people say, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, in the powerful name, in the wonderful name of Jesus, that he stopped saying that at all. And at the end of his prayer, he simply said, amen. You'd be surprised how many people looked at him funny, because aren't we all used to hearing that phrase, in our church anyway, at the end of a prayer, in Jesus' name? And there's certainly nothing wrong with it, but we better remember this. It is not a magic formula. It is not hocus pocus. It is not automatically that if we say whatever we're asking for, if we just say those words, in Jesus' name, we're guaranteed to get it. There is a group around our nation that fall into the category of known as name it, claim it, or confess it to possess it. And their idea is that if you just throw the name Jesus into it and you claim it with enough faith in your heart in God, that if you claim it hard enough, meaningful enough, that God is obligated to give it to you. I do not believe that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. I don't believe it's an automatic magical formula. I don't believe it's something you simply say it enough to where you believe it intellectually with some kind of power of positive thinking. I don't think that at all. But if that's not it, what is it? I think to pray in the name of Jesus means authority. You ever heard that something like this? Maybe you've watched enough cop shows on television where years ago they used to say something like this, stop in the name of the law. Y'all know that. What does that mean? That means stop based on the authority of who I'm representing and who I'm talking about. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, it means we're coming to God in the authority, not of ourselves. We're not coming to God in the authority of the Baptist church. We're not coming to God in the authority of our own willpower and telling God what He better do. No, no, no. We come humbly, but we come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. And we come in the name of Jesus, because if heaven opens for anybody, it opens for Jesus. If heaven is available, it's because and in and through the name of Jesus. So it means authority, but it means a little bit more than that. It means approval. Occasionally we'll have those famous UPS drivers stop by our place of business here. Some of y'all know them. They drive recklessly on the highway, run everybody off, give competition to FedEx, DHL, and the United States Postal Service. And you've seen them in those little black trucks when they all get out with their little cute shorts on. Isn't that so sweet of them to get out that way? And, of course, we have two of those drivers in our midst today, and Eric Bell and Nick Avery. And, of course, when Nick Davis is here, he's another one as well. And so it's really, really cute for them to run around in their little shorts and their little shirts and their little brown trucks. And they're just little kids driving around delivering packages. But, oh, they do a good job. As long as they make money and tithe, I really don't care what they do. But what have you ever had a delivery by any of these groups? don't they always come in? Somebody's got to sign for it. And when you sign for it, what you're signing, you're giving your approval. I believe when we pray in the name of Jesus, it's not just the authority of Jesus, but it gets His approval. Now listen to me. Years ago, we had a guy in our church, some of your memory, Andy Williams. Not Moon River. Some of y'all are thinking, not him. But y'all remember Andy Williams. Andy got saved. He sat right over here for a while with Myra. Andy played the piano occasionally for maybe an offertory. Andy was struggling with, he struggled with alcohol, and he struggled with cigarettes. And I remember him coming to me one day. He said, "Preacher," he was up here just hanging out one day trying to get some help. He said, "Preacher, I'm in a mess." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Well, I'm in a mess." He said, I got to have a cigarette. I got to have one bad. I said, "Well, what you going to do about it?" He said, "I decided to pray about it." He said, "So here I go." He said, "I went and prayed to the Lord. Would you help me smoke a cigarette?" He said, "I couldn't ask that." He said, "I stopped right in the middle of it." And he said, "I ain't got none." He said, "So I just didn't buy none." He said, "Now I'm in a quandary whether I can go buy some or not." And he said, "I started to pray, Lord, help me go. I can't even ask Him to help me buy them." He was in a mess because basically he realized this: if I'm going to ask in the name of Jesus, there's some things I just can't ask. How about this one? "Dear God, my family's expecting a baby, and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus that you help us abort that baby." I read this week, maybe you saw it, it's just appalling to me how a mother had taken a baby, put it in a plastic bag, and left it out somewhere so it would suffocate. Fortunately, after 3 days, the baby was still alive. You reckon somebody prayed about that? You can't pray in the name of Jesus unless you're asking Him to approve of a thing. "Dear God, I'm sick and tired of my husband, and I found me somebody else. I pray in Jesus' name you'll help me get the new one." Now, do you see the facetiousness of that? It's just ridiculous. Lord, and you can name any other thing you want to name, but when that thing is something that, if I could say it this way, that Jesus wouldn't sign off on, you can't pray it in the name of Jesus. So it means authority, it means approval, but it means a claim. If you go to Camp Okefenokee, and I had nothing to do with this whatsoever. You go to Camp Okefenokee on the other side of Waycross, where we take our young people every summer and drive up out there. They got a baseball field out there. And they got a big sign up over it. I mean, the letters must be that big. It said Sellers Field. It's named after me. And I didn't ask for that. I don't want that. You say you like it? Well, I'm grinning, ain't I? I kind of like it a little bit. Why did they do that? Now listen, they didn't ask me if they could. I just drove up. About 3 or 4 years ago, after they put it up, I just drove up to camp that day, and I saw this ginormous sign up there, and it said Sellers Field. Now, on the chapel where there's spiritual things, it's Herring Chapel. So clearly, they rewarded me for being sports-minded, and Brother Herring for being spiritual-minded, and my feelings were slightly hurt. But I got a bigger sign. Had the whole deal. Now, why did they do that? They did that to honor me. And I appreciate it more than I could possibly say. It's very special. I mean, my name means something to me just like yours does to you. But they didn't do that in any devious way. It's meant to honor, to bring acclaim. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we're really giving Him glory. We're trying to honor Him. So I'm praying for something. Listen, if you want your prayers answered, you need to pray in the name of Jesus. And that means these things that I've given to you. A second key would be pray in the Spirit. The Bible tells us this in the little book of Jude. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. In the little book of Jude, it's that little book of the Bible, one chapter right before the book of Revelation. And in verse number 20, it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now, some folks think praying in the Spirit means you speak in different languages. If you just speak in English, I'd understand it. But you could speak in any language, as we did when James Shadimu was here from Nigeria, and he spoke in Nigerian when he talked to God. Or when Tanzania, help me. Anderson was here. Y'all, big tall Anderson that I baptized was here. And Anderson spoke in Swahili to God. Now listen, the Lord has no trouble translating languages. We just have trouble down here. But to speak in the Spirit doesn't mean different languages. It means to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Let me read you a passage found in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. You'll be familiar with it. Probably everybody in this room knows Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. But there's a verse or two before it. Let me read you this right here. In verse 26, the Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Here's what I believe the Bible's teaching. There are times when I don't know what to pray for. And there's times when you probably don't know what to pray for. To pray in the Spirit is to be guided by the Holy Spirit in what to pray for, so my prayers are not self-centered and selfish and only for me and mine. The Spirit of God would never guide us to pray for that which would be just glorifying to self, but rather would be glorifying to God. For the Spirit of God searches our innermost being down deep in our soul and in our mind and helps us to know what we ought to pray for. Dr. Adrian Rogers, I read a statement he made on that verse, and he said there are times when we're praying for maybe a family member. I got a call yesterday about an uncle of mine in Tallahassee, my Uncle Jack, who's not in good shape at all. He's fallen recently. He's 88 years old, I think, and not in good shape. They had to call hospice in for pain management, so it doesn't look good for Uncle Jack. Now, my prayer typically is this: Lord, heal Uncle Jack. Adrian Rogers made the statement. He said, we spend so much time, especially in prayer meetings, whether it's Sunday night or Wednesday night, taking requests about the saints staying healthy. And he said, nothing wrong with that. He said, but if you think about it, most of our prayers are, dear God, keep the saints from going to heaven. Because some of them are ready to graduate on the glory. Now, of course, when it's me, I want y'all to pray God to keep me here a long time. But he said, it's funny that we do that. We spend so little time praying that God will keep the lost out of hell that we're praying to keep the saved out of going on up to glory. And it was just his point that there are times, I imagine somewhere along the way, the Spirit of God might lead me to pray for my Uncle Jack. Lord, give him peace and comfort and rest. And if his body doesn't get better physically, Lord, help him pass on the glory softly and easily and in a way that glorifies you. Brother Bill Ford, I know he was y'all's pastor for a long time and dear friend of mine. I remember him talking to me about when his daddy was in bad shape and dying. Brother Ford pastored Northside Baptist over in Jessup for many years. And he said this, he said, I prayed for so many years for God to heal my daddy. He said, but then God gave me peace to say this, Lord, have mercy on my daddy. And he said, if that means to heal him, that's fine. Or if that meant to take him on to glory, that was okay too. I thought that was a unique way that I don't think my flesh would have thought about, but the Spirit of God will guide us in how we pray. So we pray in the name of Jesus. That's number one. We pray in the Spirit. Let me give you these others real quickly. We pray in obedience. There is no sense in asking God to answer your prayer if you're not going to obey what you know in the Bible. Now, let's don't worry about the part of the Bible you don't know. Let's just talk about the part of the Bible you do know. And I don't have trouble with the part I don't know. It's the part I do know that I need to obey. That's the part that's important. So if I'm going to ask for answer for God, answer my prayer, I can't be in rebellion against Him. One of the verses that I read you this morning, He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And the very next verse said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if I'm going to get answered prayer, it's got to be in the name of Jesus. It's got to be in the Spirit. It's got to be in obedience. Psalm 66:18, David wrote these words, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now that doesn't mean that you have to be sinlessly perfect before you can get an answered prayer. It's not about that there might be sin there, but if I regard... How many of you are familiar with the Lord of the Rings trilogy? If I say, my precious, do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, Gollum, my precious, this is someone who doesn't just have the ring, but regards the ring. Every one of us in here has sin in our life. It may not be in action. It might just be in thought or in our heart. Something ain't right between us and the Lord or us and somebody else. But if you've got it there and you want to get rid of it, that doesn't hinder your prayer. The thing that hinders your prayer is when you get that, my precious sin. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to regard it. I'm going to protect it. Nobody's going to... Preacher better not preach on my sin. He better not step on my toes. And while you regard and clutch and cling to sin, that's when God will not answer our prayer. So we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in the Spirit. We pray in obedience. We pray in the will of God. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, if we know... We'll have the petitions we ask. If we ask, we're asking His will. I dealt with this on Wednesday night in our services then. We should pray in fellowship. Mark chapter 11 and verse number 25 talks about how before when we go to God in prayer, if we've got aught against our brother, we should get that right with God before we pray. When you understand that we need to have harmony one with another. Squabble, fuss and quarrel. All we've got in our life is all kind of upset, troubles and complaints and murmurings and gossips against other brothers and sisters in Christ. No answered prayer for us when that's true. When we get up and sing in the choir, we try to harmonize. We might not always do a good job of it, but we try to. But without harmony, it's not near as sweet. Without harmony, it's not near as good. Without harmony, it's not going to present the message that we want to present in song. We want to present a message to God in prayer. It must be in harmony. Dear God, I'm praying. I think I mentioned it Wednesday night. I know a fella, he got mad with another guy in church, and the guy left, and then his prayer basically was this: dear God, strike him dead. How arrogant are we to think that just because people don't see things exactly like us, we pray for God to strike them dead? I like what one preacher said. Let's stop praying for God to strike people dead and pray that God will strike them alive. What do you mean? How about some old dead church member that just is sitting on the blessed assurance, doesn't want to get involved, doesn't want to attend church, doesn't want to be faithful, doesn't care anything about the ministry of the church? We don't need God to strike them dead. We need God to strike them alive. I have threatened, y'all know this, I've said it before, to put electric shocks in these pews. And every now and then just push that thing and some of y'all would come alive. But I think some of you would be like some of them old hogs we used to use y'all remember those prodders that you had that had a bunch of batteries in it? And you'd poke a hog or a cow or a horse with it and it'd shock them. Some of y'all, I believe I could poke you all day and I couldn't get you to the altar. Poke you all night long and couldn't get a holy grunt out of you, much less an amen. I'm telling you this much, we want our prayers answered. We need God to strike us alive. I'll give you the last thing, and that is we've got to pray in faith. I think if we get all the first five kind of in order, remember, not all them keys, just these right here. If we can pray in the name of Jesus, that's one key. If we can pray in the Spirit, that's another key. And if we can pray in obedience, that's another key. If we can pray in fellowship, that's another key. If we can pray in the will of God, that's another key. I bet you if we get all five of them, we'll be praying in faith. And that sort of becomes the master key for all the rest of them. Because the bottom line is this: when I ask, I've got to ask believing. Doubt is the enemy of every Christian. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When we doubt God and His promises, sin creeps in. I don't know about you, but I want to get the right keys so I can get answered prayer from God. Because without that, I'm not going to be a very functional Christian honoring God. Let's stand together. Our Father, thank You for Your Word this morning, for the opportunity we've had to look into it. Thank You for the promise and privilege of prayer. I ask, Lord, that You'd help us. Lord, some of us, I got to admit, there are times when I need You to strike me alive. There's times, God, when I need You to help me to make sure that I'm in harmony with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if there's aught in my heart against somebody, husband, wife, children, there's aught in my heart against another member or ex-member, God, clean my heart up And I pray that you'd help me to be in harmony with you and them, that I might have my prayers answered. Bless today. Lord, if there's somebody here today lost and they need to be born again, may they come today and know that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Have your will and way, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.